Quotes on the UN and armaments. Every gun, every warship, every tank, and every military aircraft built is, in the final analysis, a theft from those who are hungry and are not fed, from those who are naked and are not clothed. Dwight D. Eisenhower, General Commander, Allied Forces, World War II, and US President, 1952 to 1960. From Peace News' Nonviolent Action, Issue 22, June 2001. Our vision is of a world where peace and human security, as envisioned in the principles of the United Nations Charter, replaces armaments, violent conflicts, and wars. The UN and its member states have failed to fulfill their primary responsibility of maintaining peace and preserving life. Disarmament is the only way to peace. It must be accompanied by genuine human security. It is imperative that NGOs be included in the dialogue for peace. The world community, civil society, including younger and older people, and their governments have the resources and knowledge to move from a culture of violence to a culture of peace. The forum urges governments to initiate a worldwide freeze on armed forces and a 25% cut in production and export of major weapons and small arms as the beginning of a world build-down of conventional forces. That's from We the People's Millennium Forum Declaration and Agenda for Action. Strengthening the United Nations for the 21st Century, a declaration of over 1,350 representatives from over 1,000 NGOs from more than 100 countries, May 2000. For 3 years in a row now, the Conference on Disarmament in Geneva has not engaged in any negotiations because its members have been unable to agree on disarmament priorities. I cannot here review the entire arms control spectrum. I focus here on two categories of weapons that are of special concern. Small arms and light weapons, because they currently kill most people in most wars. And nuclear weapons, because of their continuing terrifying potential for mass destruction. Let us resolve, therefore, to ensure that the organization, the UN, is given necessary resources to carry out its mandates. That was from Kofi Annan, Secretary General of the United Nations, in We the Peoples, the Role of the UN in the 21st Century. Demilitarize the global economy by reducing military budgets and shifting resources towards human security programs. Peace in the 21st century demands a shift from the 20th century's expenditures on military to civilian programs that safeguard human security. Disarmament will entail making drastic cuts in weapons, forces, and military budgets. Demilitarization will require transforming the military economy to a peace economy by allocating resources for programs that ensure the well-being of the world's citizens, that provide for the basic human rights of food, shelter, education, work, health, security, and peace. It will require global adherence to the United Nations Charter and to the development of non-military security structures and peacemaking institutions. As a first step towards disarmament and demilitarization, the Hague Appeal for Peace endorses the Women's Peace Petition, which calls for a 5% reduction a year for 5 years in military spending and the reallocation of these substantial resources towards human security programs and peace education. That was from Hague Agenda for Peace and Justice for the 21st Century. We fear that unless the principles of this culture of peace are increasingly built into every activity undertaken by governments and others, the world will risk the continuation of the appalling bloodshed and the destruction which has so dominated great periods of the 20th century, with its threat of termination of life throughout the world. Members' determination at the United Nations to pursue the unfinished global disarmament agenda remains sadly limited. The threatened development and or spread of weapons of mass destruction remain very real. Small arms remain available in the Great Lakes regions of Central Africa, in Angola and in many other countries, and continue to fuel conflict, exasperate human rights abuses, undermine development programs and peace processes, and define the effects of are on other governments and civil society to curb them. We believe that the reduction in military budgets remain the cornerstones to achieving the international development and environmental targets and greater human rights implementation. We remain deeply concerned at the UK's continued reliance on the defence industry and at the periodic provisions of arms to a number of unsavoury regimes, where they may be used against civilians or to abuse human rights or could undermine development, often with Export Credit Guarantee Department support. We call upon Her Majesty's government vigorously to seek a fourth special session of the UN General Assembly on Disarmament, no later than 2003, which would seek to confirm a creative, holistic and comprehensive UN disarmament agenda, action plan for the first part of the 21st century. We believe that such a special session should be held on a regular basis in order to review progress and set new targets. We urge Her Majesty's government to campaign at the UN for structuring of effective regional security guarantees to help to reduce individual countries' felt needs for arms. We believe that space should be kept free of weapons and nuclear power, and that the excessive expense it would involve would be better served by sharing more fairly the world's resources. What must be engendered is far greater political will to bring these aspirations to fruition. That was from Policy 2001, the United Nations Association of Great Britain and Northern Ireland's policy statement developed at their annual conference in April 2001. To the extent that money can solve conflicts and potential conflicts, not a huge amount is required compared to what the world is prepared to spend on everything else, including defence. That was Gareth Evans, President of the International Crisis Group, former Foreign Minister of Australia. In the Millennium Declaration, September 2000, governments from all over the world pledged themselves to free their peoples from the scourge of war, from abject and dehumanizing poverty, and from the threat of living on a polluted planet with few natural resources left, and to promote democracy and the rule of law, to protect children and other vulnerable people, and to meet the needs, the special needs of Africa. And they promised to make the United Nations itself more effective as an instrument for pursuing all those aims. The Charter was written in your name. In the end, only you can ensure the Declaration is more than fine words. It is up to you to see the pledges honoured, and so make the new century better than the old. This is a message to the peoples of the United Nations from Secretary General Kofi Annan, 24th of October, United Nations Day 2000. A recent publication, Budgeting for Disarmament, has attempted to set out some of the costs of war and peace and to sketch out some of the key elements of an agenda for a better world. The first challenge, the author argues, is to assist countries emerging from the devastation of warfare in their efforts to rebuild and fashion viable civil societies and economies less susceptible to the breakdown and strife. The second is to slash the enormous arsenal of weapons accumulated over decades, to adopt meaningful restrictions in arms production, possession and trade, and to convert war-making capacities to civilian use. Finally, and this is likely to be the greatest challenge, there is a need to create institutions that are capable of robust peacekeeping, non-violent dispute resolution, and war prevention. That was from the Peace Pledge Union publication, Budgeting for Disarmament. Task in the 21st century will be to establish effective restraints based on three principles, contrasting sharply with the approaches underlying past and present policies. Disarmament, as opposed to arms control. Universal constraints on arms, as opposed to non-proliferation. And war prevention, as opposed to regulating warfare. This was from Michael Renner. Peace in the 21st century. The world's military sector is a vast repository of resources, financial, physical, human, and technological. If only a fraction of these resources could be diverted to meet the unmet socio-economic needs of the developing world, then not only would human welfare be dramatically enhanced, but also many conflicts with their roots in economic deprivation would be averted. In order to realize this peace dividend, however, the over-militarized nations will have to undergo a major restructuring of their forces and a reappraisal of their real military needs. They must accept much more rapid reductions in military spending and make a political commitment to invest in what does not need to be retained for the disarmament and decommissioning process itself in developing programs to benefit the world's poorest communities. That was from Disarmament, the Unfinished Disarmament Agenda, February 1995, written and edited by the Special NGO Committee for Disarmament, Geneva, Switzerland. Disarmament is not an end in itself. The end is peace, and security is one of its essential elements. The evolution of international relations reveals today that disarmament is a necessary condition, if not the primary condition for security, since by a phenomenon of cooperation, it allows other elements of stability and peace to develop. All are well aware that the type of security on which our planet has depended for several decades, a balance of terror based on nuclear deterrence, is a security with a far too high risk level. This awareness should encourage nations to enter into a new phase in their relations with all due urgency. This is precisely what you are now devoting your attention to. In order to eliminate once and for all the spectre of a nuclear war and of all armed conflict. The progressive, balanced and controlled elimination of weapons of mass destruction and the stabilization at the lowest possible level of the defensive weapon systems of countries is an objective that should contain the necessary consensus as a first step towards increased security. This was a message of John Paul II to the General Assembly of UNO Disarmament. It was made in the Vatican on the 31st of May 1988 by the Pope John Paul II. Human security has emerged as a foreign policy paradigm with the potential to serve as a powerful complement to more traditional security concepts in meeting the range of new threats to peoples and ultimately to governments and multilateral organizations. Human security is best seen as a shift in perspective which takes people from the principal point of reference in international affairs. The human security agenda seeks to address a range of threats to the safety and security of people It is fundamentally about putting people first and enhancing our collective ability and capacity to protect human rights and to ensure essential peace and stability, which is a key prerequisite for sustainable human development. Human security provides a valuable theoretical basis from which a variety of issues can be dealt with. Its utility and focus may well prove different for a small island state than it will for a large federal nation. For example, the influx of a small number of illegal weapons may pose a negligible threat to a large country, yet have much more serious consequences in a smaller nation. That was from Human Security in the Americas, 13th regular session of the General Assembly Organization of American States, June 4, 2000. Human security, defined by the Department of Foreign Affairs as safety for peoples from both violent and non-violent threats, is now advanced as one of the fundamental objectives of Canadian foreign policy. International human security is increasingly recognized as the true measure of state security. And yet, in a world of some 36 armed conflicts, in which civilian casualties far outnumber military casualties, many hundreds of millions of people today have no experience of safety or security. Entrenched economic, social, and political marginalization perpetuates a structural violence that threatens personal safety, well-being, and security, and leads with alarming frequency to widespread overt violence. Lives are imperiled by both kinds of violence. Violence that is all too often perpetuated by the very services and institutions charged with responsibility of protecting them. Throughout the UN, other international agencies and the effects of certain national governments, the international community is gradually becoming more focused on the imperative to provide protection to the world's vulnerable peoples. The promotion of human security and peace building has spawned a growing variety of concrete, non-military, governmental and non-governmental efforts to directly address the welfare and safety of people. The serious implementation of human security policies obviously still requires major and long-term peace-building efforts, aided by the significant infusion of new resources. But the acceptance of human security as a formal foreign policy objective is a major step forward. Human security should also have major implications for defense policies and practices. When diplomacy and peacebuilding and other economic, social and political responses fail, and civilian populations are victimized by widespread violence and humanitarian crises, military forces are increasingly called upon to come to their rescue. But without adapting and modifying military forces and their operations to conform to human security standards and imperatives, the world will continue to bring fundamental, inappropriate and counterproductive militarist responses to bear on humanitarian and human security crises. Kosovo, Chechnya and Sudan are among the examples currently making headlines. That was from Defense and Human Security Plowshares Monitor, December 1999, Defense and Human Security by Ernie Rigger. The unleashed power of the atom bomb has changed everything except our thinking. Thus, we are drifting towards a catastrophe beyond conception. We shall require a substantially new manner of thinking if mankind is to survive. That was from Albert Einstein. This letter is to appeal to every secretary, technician, custodian, scientist, engineer, and any other personnel whose participation supports the world war machine. It is a wake-up call before tomorrow comes. Albert Einstein said, "I know not with what weapons World War III will be fought, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones." If there is any hope for the survival of humanity, it is cooperative survival. It is not competitive survival. A military-oriented world economy must change soon to a people's needs-oriented economy. I know without any doubt in my heart that the people who work on nuclear weapons are as good as people who work anywhere else. I have met some people with such beautiful souls that I find it impossible to explain why they would work on weapons. We have a moral obligation and duty to think, speak and act first as citizens for a peaceful world and next as scientists. The higher our education is, the higher our responsibilities are for a humane world. Science without virtue is immoral science, Plato. My fellow scientists and engineers, the national labs must change from labs of war to labs of peace if there is to be a chance to avoid the extinction of all life on Earth. That was from The Reasons for My Resignation from Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, National Laboratory, by Dr. Andreas Tupadakis, PhD, in 2000. New weapon systems do not bring security. They squander economic resources. They subordinate research and development to military goals. Thinking in military categories deforms intellectual and cultural life. Heavily armed, the world will remain without peace. Disarmament gives peace a chance. 1/5 of today's military spending would suffice to ensure everyone a sustained basic supply of food, drinking water, education, and public health services. We propose disarmament, preservation, and extension of international arms control treaties, resurrection of the ABM Treaty and the Convention on Biological Weapons, and all other conventions limiting weapons and weapon technologies, prohibition of arms exports, total nuclear disarmament, complete renunciation of the military use of outer space, and no new missile system. Lasting peaceful solutions to international conflicts must be found, especially in the Near and Middle East. Let peace be just. That was from the Dresden Appeal of the Party of Democratic Socialism, Germany, adopted at a second session of the 7th PDS Congress on the 7th of October 2001. Strike against all ordinances and laws and institutions that continue the slaughter of peace and the butcheries of war. Strike against war.